Hello everybody, this is Eric from Apocalypse Orchestra, and you're listening to this show with me and Jim Madonna, so crank it up, here comes some medieval folk metal.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, today is no different, because I have on the line, all the way from Sweden, hard rock vocalist and guitarist, Mr. Eric Larson of Apocalypse Orchestra. Eric, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Eric, I gotta tell you, man, this is really an honor for me. A big shout out to Dave Tedder. You know, he has hooked me up with so many interviews. And when he approached me with your band, man, I got to be real with you. I was mesmerized because I have never heard a sound like you guys have. It is the most unique, creative music that I have ever heard. And man, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, especially calling me from Sweden, man.
Well, thank you especially for that, those kind words. They really mean a lot to us, knowing that we can embrace people with our music. It's especially funny that we've reached all the way to the States, being a new band and releasing a debut album. We never thought we would reach that far right away. So it really means a lot to hear.
Well, you know, thank goodness for the internet, right? I mean, in social media, because, you know, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be having this conversation, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
About that.
All right. You're so, right, you know that. What I'd like to do is tell us about yourself, about the band, you know, and then what we're going to do is we're going to play some tracks off the album. So what I'd like to do is just turn the floor over to you, bud.
Most of us in the band has known each other prior to Apocalypse Orchestra, and me, Michael, and Andreas even played together in some previous band. And when the last band went belly up, we just took a little bit of a hiatus, and finally Michael had a killer idea, which he pitched to me, and since we both like slow heavy metal, and we never really in any other band tapped into the real medieval style of folk music, we just decided to give it a go. We usually have been playing more contemporary folk music in other bands, so it was refreshing to actually go backwards, even if it sounds like a contradiction. So we started to both write our own melodies as well as using actual several hundred of years old melodies. And when slowing the tempos down and just giving them metal backgrounds in the way we do, we felt right away that we were really onto something here. And we just decided to push on and writing music that we felt, one, was something that was missing on the scene, and two, music that we wanted to listen to ourselves, and then everything took off quite fast.
I mean, you guys got some really unique instruments that you use. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners?
Well, our main sound is we're a modern metal band that's looking back and getting inspired by olden times and olden melodies. We're not a old sounding band that's trying to fit into a modern world. So that's important to be very clear about. So when we started out, we were first introducing the hurdy-gurdy, and not everybody knows what a hurdy-gurdy is. And a famous pop song by a very famous singer-songwriter, The Hurdy-Gurdy Man, is actually about a grinding organ. It's not even a hurdy-gurdy, so he missed that one. And It's like a fiddle, but with keys instead of a fretboard and a big wheel instead of a bow to grind the strings. So it's you have to really see it to appreciate.
What, you know, kind of, you know, inspired you to go to that direction of doing like a medieval theme and doing, the arrangements that you guys do? I mean, what was the process in doing that? I mean, I know you said earlier that you like that kind, that you like that, but how did that come together?
Well, Michael has been playing the hurdy-gurdy for since the, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 10 and 15 years. So the instrument is not new to him or us, and we've used it in other bands before. But the challenge here was to make it an instrument that's supposed to sound really, really old to fit into a modern sound and a modern arrangement. So we had to be really careful when miking it up and making it fit into the mix. And we had a lot of help from friends that are excellent sound engineers, and at the same time experimenting ourselves. But when we finally made it fit right in the mix, it was a bit of an epiphany for us as well, because it just belonged there. It was supposed to be there. And at the same time, we realized that a lot of other bands have used these kinds of instruments before. This is nothing new. But the way we made it sound high-end, but still old at the same time, was really something we ourselves hadn't heard before either.
Well, you know, you stated that it's something that's not really new, but you know, here in the States, it's, for me personally, it's extremely new, because bands in the United States don't do this.
I guess you've seen a couple of bands with a bagpipe or two, at least.
Well, yeah, but you know, not to the full extent of what you guys have accomplished.
No, we took a risk here and really used the old instruments as complete lead instruments. I mean, we have very few guitar solos, and we put a lot of lead guitars to the side in favor of the hurdy-gurdy and the bagpipes. So we've been very lucky to be able to get it right and to get it to something that people appreciate. So and it has been a lot of kill your darlings as well. So we didn't end up overusing them or using them to play a lot of modern sounding melodies. So we focused on using them on the melodies that actually sound as though they were written for those kinds of instruments. I think that was one of the keys to getting it all to work.
Very cool, man. You know what? The first song I want to talk about is called The Garden of Earthy Delights. Can you give the listeners some history about that song?
Yeah, that's it's one of the, the fourth song we wrote for the album. And it's heavily inspired by a painting by a glorious medieval artist called Hieronymus Bosch. And the painting is also called The Garden of Earthly Delights, though we have our quite own interpretation of it, which can probably be seen in the lyrics, even though a lot of people interpret it differently than us. But it was actually one of the first songs that was a bit faster than the others. So that's also why we chose it as our first single. I don't know, I think it's wrong to call a 9-minute long medieval doom metal song for a hit, but it's our hit.
Well, you know what? It's a great, great hit. And here it is, The Garden of Earthy Delights. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
Thank you. show.
We are with Eric. And Eric, you know, you guys also have a video for that. And I have watched that video. It's really incredible how that was put together. Very well done.
Thanks. We had some killer help by a very good cameraman / director / editor. And it all came out very nice. You can probably notice, for those of you who have seen the video, the main instrument in that one is not the hurdy-gurdy, but it is actually the bagpipe. And the hurdy-gurdy is present, of course, as well. Right. The video is actually shot in an authentic 16th century castle that was once built by a previous king in Sweden.
Wow. That's really, really cool.
So the part the video is taking place in is an unrenovated original part of the castle, which is nowadays used as a museum. And we were giving the immense honor and opportunity to utilize it for a day and to shoot the video. Super friendly people working there as well. It's called the Vasa Castle.
There's a lot of history here, isn't there?
Yeah, and even though our songs tell tales of subjects spanning over hundreds of years, I think we looked at several locations for the video, but we couldn't have been more lucky to find a spot like that.
Right. Let me ask you this, Eric. In your opinion, what defines a successful record?
That's a different question, especially nowadays, since you have streaming, you have downloading and stuff like this. You can't just go by number of records sold nowadays. I heard once a man say that 30 years ago, everybody had to go on tedious tours just to be able to sell an album. Nowadays, I think you have to make an album so that people will come to your gigs. It's the opposite way around, so I think you can measure the success of an album in quite a lot of different ways. For me, however, the feedback you get and the feedback we have gotten for this album is the measuring stick that is most dear to me. And it has been really, really put us in awe reading what people have had to say about this. We never could have expected such good feedback, especially from a debut album where people tend to be a little harsher on their critique. So hats off to everyone. It's been glorious to read.
Any plans of coming to the U.S.?
Oh, of course. Yep, give us a year or two. Nowadays, I have friends in bands who are touring in the U.S. from time to time. The guy who mixed our album, Per Nilsson from Scar Symmetry, is actually over there right now substituting for Frederick in Meshuga and touring with them. And just don't get me started on visas, man. We don't have to go further than there to find troubles. And then, of course, you have the economic calculations just to make everything work and not to, like, get ruined by going over and playing a few festivals. So for us in particular, it's very exciting in the U.S. to watching the pagan metal scene and the festivals that follows, how they are growing right now, especially on the East Coast. So when they do get big enough to start taking more bands and not as big bands as the headliners from Europe, I'm sure we'll probably be able to follow them over there.
Well, that's great, man. I hope you guys do come to the U.S. because it's a show that I would definitely want to catch, man.
That would be wonderful to be able to go over there. We've been fortunate enough to find a lot of new fans over there, lots more than I would have expected. So there we go again, the internet.
You know what, Eric? I really think, you know, at least here in the U.S., and boy, I hate to say it like this, but people are kind of stuck in the 80s, and you know we're kind of listening to the same things, the same music that we were when we were kids. Not that that's a bad thing, but I really think people are afraid of change, and you guys are obviously stepping outside of the box and definitely making a change.
Thank you for that. It's a half truth to say, it's part true that we've been trying to be different. Not just for the sake of being different, but since we had the opportunities to stand out, we of course took it. But to go as far and say that we were actually trying to make a statement, I maybe wouldn't go that far. Maybe we have without even meaning it. Yeah. I don't know. It's nice to stir the pot.
Absolutely. The next track I want to talk about is Pierre. Can you give us some history about that one?
Absolutely. In medieval times in Europe, you had a lot of fear, and fear has been misguiding people throughout the ages. And one thing that really was a lot of persecution was women, especially women in medicine and stuff like this. It reached all over to the U.S., and I say the word Salem, and you know right away what I mean. And in Europe, we had the Inquisition. And the song is about those times, and it's about the people persecuting people, other people, and finally a lot of innocent people ending up tied to a stake and burnt alive. And this one may come back and have some revenge.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear it. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
I will take your life. bride. Flesh consumed by fire,
soon I'm by his side.
Now there is but one thing, my retribution. I will break back through to seek my absolution.
Another just well produced, just, I hate to sound robotic, man, but you know, it's just all around good stuff, man.
Well, I would lie if I were to tell you that I'm tired of hearing those kinds of words. So I just take off my hat and give a bow.
Okay. You know what? Let me ask you this, man. Has there ever been a point in your life where you lost the interest in playing or performing? If so, what did you do to rekindle it?
No, not really, since between bands, if I could put it like that, I've always played for the heck of it. And me and Michael in the band has played a duo, just playing folk music. I've been stepping in playing in bands behind the artists locally and stuff like this. So I've always kept it going. One thing, however, that could affect the go and the drive in the future is, of course, as many musicians know and people who work in industry, that's when you start hearing those ringing noises in your ear. That's when you know you have to be very careful, so that your musical future just don't kiss you goodbye.
Well, you know, with that being said, let me ask you this. What piece of musical advice forever changed your way of thinking?
That's a tricky one. I think that this is going to sound very boring and very futuristic, but I think it was when computers entered the game and when technology made it possible for me to put down the songs in my head to play them, be able to play them to someone else. I cannot read one line of musical sheets. I don't know anything about that. So I just play by ear. I talk music to my bandmates. And suddenly when I was able to sit at home to record ideas and make demos on 15 minutes and just send to the other guys and like, whoa, what do you think of this? That forever changed my way of working and especially composing.
Okay. Well, and to actually follow that, if I could ask you, what piece of advice would you give yourself 20 years ago?
Practice.
Just that?
That's the worst thing I would want to hear 20 years ago.
That's cool, man.
You know, you say when people usually they don't want to face the truth in some circumstances, people just say, "I peaked too early, man." You've heard this expression, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I technically, as a guitar player, I think I did just a couple of years after I started playing. I don't know if any practice, no matter how much, would have made me any better today than I was 15 years ago. Still, I try, but I'm not that good a guitarist, especially technically. So I try to find some balance in writing cool and different melodies instead. So I'm probably better at playing the acoustic string instruments than I am at an electric guitar. Or I don't know. Maybe if it sounds good, it's just probably because I'm good at faking it.
I appreciate your honesty. The next track I want to talk about is called Theater of War. Can you give us some history about that one?
Yes. Actually, on the album, I have to also give a big shout out to the people who joined us on the album and singing backup as a choir. They made an excellent job, and Pat especially made a kick-ass job of bringing the choir alive, so it sounds bigger and mightier than it is, but I really think it fits right into the mix. We have actually had them live on stage with us as well, so it's really cool. The song in itself, here we go again, just writing songs about the everyday life in medieval times. And war was always looming over some country or some city or whatever. And this was probably an impending feeling of doom wherever you were. And I don't think that anybody who was recruited to be a soldier in an army wanted to be there. So as a straight contradiction to a lot of bands always are praising the glory of war, we did a 180-degree turn here and just focus on what was it like really, what followed in the footsteps of war. And given that medieval Europe has acquired a rich history in war, a lot of ways to answer it, and most of them are very morbid.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Theater of War. Yeah. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
The play, the cost is ready. Join the frame.
are back with Eric. And Eric, you know, another killer tune, man. I can't thank you enough for this opportunity, man, because like I said, I've listened to all these tracks, man. And I cranked the system up and it's like, yeah.
Very good to hear, man.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, man. What do you think it will be the next evolution in the music industry?
I think we're going to see a lot of more indie or independent behavior, both in bands and in labels. I think the major labels have to be careful to adapt, which they did not when the digital revolution came. Some of them are following in the footsteps of the trends, others choose not to, and it's going to be interesting to see which ones manage to survive the best. Another one also is that we're going to see a lot more evolvement of composers, new tools, new technologies, and especially cheaper ones that as well deliver awesome quality is going to enable a lot more people with talent to put their music out there. And the hardships for every musician in that situation is it's harder to be heard.
Okay.
So you have to be... I don't think in 10 years it's good enough to be a musician or a composer. You also need to know how to market yourself. That's sad but true. The multi-talents will have the advantage.
I would agree. Great answer, man. What is one of your most memorable shows, live shows?
Well, hands down, when we got to perform live with a symphonic orchestra and a chamber choir. We got the opportunity when Swedish classic death metal band Entombed decided to do a show with our local symphonic orchestra here in Gävle, where we live. And this is a symphonic orchestra with quite high pedigree, and they're known for always accepting different types of show ideas. And they had a band called Sorcery that old friends of them. So they were invited as a guest, and they made an opportunity for two bands as well to be able to play, and we was one of them.
The next track I'd like to talk about is called To Embark. Can we have some history about this?
That's the most recent track on the album, and we felt we had to have an instrumental track, and one that especially would sound very medieval. So that's I think that is the song using the most number of instruments as well. You have the lute, you have the cittern, you have the mandola, you have guitars, you have a Rauschpfeife. You have the hurdy-gurdy, you have a... Yeah, oh, I could keep going, man. And it's also a prologue for the closing track of the album, Here Be Monsters. So it fits quite well in its location on the album. And who knows, maybe it's a prologue for... Maybe it's not only the prologue for the last song of the album. Maybe it's a prologue for something more in the future.
Right on, man. Well, here it is. To Embark. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. Thank you. Again, we are back. And Eric, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. And I want to ask you one more question, brother. What type of legacy would you like to leave to your friends, family, and fans when you pass on?
That's a very, very tough and deep question to answer lightly, I think. And I don't think I could find one answer to answer each part of your question. I think there would be different questions all around. If I were to find some common denominator, I think it would be joy. To leave something behind that other people can remember me by, which gives them joy, be it music, be it photos, be it shared experiences. I don't know, but something that would give joy when remembered, looked at, listened at, or remembered.
That is a great, great answer, man. Well, Eric, listen, we're going to go ahead and close it out now. And again, I just want to truly thank you for taking your time and giving me a call. I take this truly as an honor. And I want to say to you, man, that I truly wish you the utmost success in all that you do. And I hope or pray, whatever way you want to look at it, that you guys take the industry by storm. I really mean that sincerely.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to talk to you. And just give me a holler again in the future and we'll talk some more. I would be glad to be back on the show.
Oh, I would be totally honored. All right, well, there you have it. An interview with Eric Larson. I am Jim Madonna, your host. What we're going to do is we're going to play one more tune. This one here is called Here Be Monsters. Crank it up. Peace.
fettered by cold were my feet, bound by frost in cold clasps. Where then care seed was about my heart?